Welcome everybody back to the Fox and the Clown podcast. Another episode in the pocket. Today we are joined by our co-host Yoshi.
And well, I'm a host, right? So I'm one of the hosts of the podcast, not a co-host.
And our new co-host JPR Pokey Trainer.
You could have just stopped at JPR.
JPR. They call him JPR at PokeTrainer 98. Now, what is the JPR?
Those are my initials.
And what about 98?
That's literally the year I was born.
Oh, okay. I thought it was...
If I could go back in time and change one thing in my life, it would be my username. I absolutely hate
it. So what would it mean? Be instead?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead. Like... I'm horrible at naming things. Like, if I had a kid, like, right now, just popped one out, I hope I don't. But I'd probably be like, you know what? They don't need to know their name until they're, like, three or something.
Okay, so...
I can just call you, hey, you, for a little while.
I'm gonna give you 5 seconds, counting down on my hand. You gotta come up with a name for your firstborn daughter. Ready?
Firstborn daughter.
Set, go.
I'm gonna go with Bianca.
Bianca. Okay,
yeah, good Italian.
It's actually Italian? Like a not uncommon name.
Yeah, it's better than Don Viet. That was my, I was going to.
If it was you Don have to have Viet. A certain amount of Riz to carry a name like that.
yeah, indeed. Now, before we get started with the podcast, should we talk about how both of us met JPR? Like, what was our first meeting point with JPR? Like, what was your first meeting point with JPR?
So I met JPR. Well, first I heard rumors. I heard rumors about a PokeTuber going to mm-hmm. college with our buddies Mizuki and Alex. Like, they would always talk about him like he was some strange individual living down the hallway from them. And I was like, hey, Mizuki, you're really good at Pokemon. You should challenge this guy to a Poke battle and beat him.
Oh, is that where it came from? Because every day he'd come up to me, he'd be like, hey, let's battle. Like a little kid on the playground in like elementary school, you know, who'd like want to play like imaginary Pokemon or something.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, I could destroy you. I bet I'll win like 10 to 1.
I mean, he was like the beginner trainer at the beginning of the route, you know?
Yeah, he's youngster Joey, but he's like standing there with like level 900 Pokemon, you know?
With a fucking...
I had this level 900
with a Tropius with a Star Fairy or something.
A fucking...
Dude, that was the most AIDS strategy I've ever fought in my entire life.
He's got
the
Shedinja in his squad.
I should have never accepted because I was like retired from competitive Pokemon after like Gen 5. They introduced Megas and I was like, nah, I'm out of here.
But yeah, I think shortly after that, I met Rizzo when I went up to... the college to enter a Smash tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and your reputation also preceded you, because I remember Mizuki and Alex sitting me down in the lounge and making me watch Don V's Fire Red Nuzlocke challenge. and he had so many deaths because he kept forgetting that some Pokemon was ground type. He kept turning a Thunder Wave like a G.
What the hell? I don't remember this part. It's just slander.
It was like the first gym you actually lost. I remember you lost the Nuzlocke and then you restarted it or something, right?
I did restart. I think I beat the gym, but I lost every Pokemon except for like one.
Maybe Infernape or something. Not Infernape, but Chimchar.
It was scuffed playthrough.
You're still not in the right region.
Oh yeah, not on the right region. True, but then I must be confused because I did two
Nuzlockes. One was Platinum, and one was Fire Red. Red one was randomized, and I remember I encountered a Clefable, and he was just like metronome spamming me one time. And that was awful. I had to hack him with Leech Seed.
Yeah, he hyped it up as the best Pokemon content on YouTube. And we must have sat there for hours and watched several parts of the Nuzlocke challenge.
And I'm trying to think, how did we meet JPR? Because I think I met you...
I'm trying to remember.
I think I met you before you think we met.
It wasn't SmashCon. We had definitely met before SmashCon.
We met in North Hall, actually.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I think that they had you up there in the lounge, that same lounge where we watched Don V's Nuzlocke.
We were in the lounge, and I remember we were doing, like... We did something afterwards that I don't... Do you remember this?
No, I probably don't.
Because I was... Yeah, you're going to say I'm crazy. You're going to think I'm crazy, but it's true. I was eating... You want to guess what I was eating?
Ass?
Rice?
I was eating your asshole back in those days.
What the hell?
And I remember... Dobby's exactly right. It's true, and I remember I swung my leg over you so you could... I was on top, and I remember I swung my leg over to let you eat my ass.
Strange, very strange.
But it's true. It's true.
I mean,
these aren't the events that I remember.
That's crazy. I mean, if this stuff gets out, it might be the end of Rizzo's career.
And the thing is, like, the thing that I remember, it was like back in the day when it was not weird to do that with your friends. You know, you could eat your friend's ass back in those days and it totally just be a normal thing that friends did.
Yeah, but we were like acquaintances at the time, so I don't think we were at that stage.
Yeah, but we
don't think it was
weird. No, it was not weird.
Yeah, I guess not.
It was not that weird, man. But I remember doing that and I remember really making that connection with you.
Did you like make me drunk, like, neurologically, like, without ingesting me with any kind of alcohol, and I just forgot all of this?
I mean, it's the type of thing that, like...
That Yoshi like would do.
You know what? I do it so often,
it's
I probably
It's the type of thing that Yoshi's
actually.
Known for. He's a trickster like that.
Well, no, not necessarily, but I was going to say...
That's what
the
they say on the
that...
streets. And actually, you just admitted it, so I don't know why you're trying to deny it now.
Well, it's easy to forget things. It's easy to forget things, especially special moments, and it kind of goes to show that you really have to cherish those times when they occur. You know?
I agree. You know, I was thinking back on my first encounter with Mizuki, because I think Mizuki was probably the first one of the group who I met. And I remember that he was like, he told some backstory where he was like, yeah, I saw this kid walking in and out of North Hall wearing like the red Crocs. And he was like, that guy is such a dork.
And now here's what I want to ask you about. I don't mean to cut you off if that's not your whole story, but how do you feel about the resurgence of the Croc in the modern era?
It feels good. It feels good because, like, I remember they were going bankrupt like 10 or 15 years
bankrupt.
Ago. And everybody was like, oh, rip bozo, you know? But I just kind of turned out to be like ahead of the curve, I guess. And now Crocs have made a huge resurgence. Makes me look like I know something.
It makes you
bankrupt?
Look like. I mean, if the currency is the public consciousness, most certainly they were falling way out of style. You were not, you know, if you showed up in Crocs, you were kind of an asshole.
I remain steadfast, though. I have worn red Crocs every day of my life since first grade. I kid you not.
Why don't you get a sponsorship then? Why don't you ask for a sponsorship? That's incredible.
I haven't reached out. I probably should.
It's incredible knowledge right there that the Croc would come back into. Really, the...
Well, actually, that's a lie. I had, a black suit Spider-Man arc in, a junior year of high school.
Oh, no.
Because, like, they stopped making red Crocs for adults. So I had to go to, like, the black fuzzy Crocs for wintertime. They got so smelly. Those are the worst Crocs.
Smelly?
As a kid...
Yeah.
First of all...
I do remember that when we first met. I remember it was kind of smelly.
There's this dude... who works at Fish Shut, who always wears black Crocs. But the thing is, you're not supposed to wear fucking open-toed shoes in the damn restaurant.
That's the thing about Crocs, is they're very open, like, they're closed-toed.
You serve it up food with your feet? What's the problem?
Oh.
That's the thing about Crocs, is they're closed-toed, but they're kind of open-toed at the same time, aren't they?
Yeah, I wouldn't call those open-toed shoes. They're just, I don't know, they're their own breed.
They're like that semi-open, you know? They're like non-binary.
Now, Crocs with socks is a sin. If you wear Crocs with socks, then you've lost all of my respect.
Crocs sock? They rhyme a little bit, though. Croc sock?
Yeah, but it's just like the most disgusting thing you'll ever see. It's like you're defeating the purpose of wearing the Croc at that point.
Mm. We got... What do you... Okay, so no socks with the Crocs, but how do you feel about socks with the sandals? Because I remember when that fad came about. I was around then.
See, that's not my area of expertise. You know, I kind of like to stay in the Croc realm because I'm like a little bit of a connoisseur over there. But with the sandals, it's kind of like, whatever. Do what you want. If you're wearing sandals at that point, like, who cares?
Depends.
Like, you're just, you are the sandal guy at that point. Abby, you know, you guys know Abby. Abby's the sandal guy.
Okay. But why, like, here's the thing. There's two different types of sandals. There's flip-flops where you got the sock.
No, they're different.
That big toe kind of getting
We're not fucking samurai out here running around with damn wood shoes.
I think if you do socks with flip-flops, that is actually the worst.
That's the worst.
Because you do have that big toe kind of poking out, and you're like, you have that little like a crease between the big toe and the secondary toe, and it's just
that's
weird.
More of a,
it's
that's more good. Of a Japanese thing.
Yeah, but they have special socks for it. My dad had socks that had all the toes, like...
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, like individualized. Yeah. Like a glove.
Like, it was like a glove for his foot. He had the socks for that.
That seems like it would be torture to get
down. You know, it wasn't the easiest. It certainly wasn't the easiest. I remember watching him back in the day and thinking, like, damn, that looks a bit arduous. But, you know, I feel like for people who are willing to work for it, I think there's a certain reward there. There's a reward there that...
Extra toe strength?
Extra toe strength, certainly. Extra comfort.
I feel like this is part of like some like deeper Buddhist religion, where it's like part of your mental training every day comes from putting on like.
It's about
love for your
discipline.
Feet.
It's about discipline at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you don't take like at least an hour to put your socks on, then you know, are you really like primed to be a monk?
And what's the point? What's the point then?
And things who wants to really be a monk nowadays? Because now you got the Dalai Lama trying to make out with kids and stuff.
Well, like that's basically what all those grind set videos are about. We talked about the grind set before the podcast, and it's like that's kind of what it is. It's like every single one of those motivational like black pilled YouTubers is just kind of like, I wake up at 3 a.m. every day and I take a cold shower and I meditate for a half
They're
hour.
The real virgin monks now.
What's the most like? Yeah, name the routine of someone who goes through that like self-improvement phase. So wake up at 3 a.m. first. Don't look at
phone.
Yeah,
wake up at 3 a.m. Yeah, don't look at your phone. Don't get your coffee. You know, caffeine is
don't
bad.
Don't get your coffee.
Dopamine is
only,
bad.
Only mud water is fine.
Yeah, go for your two-hour run and then come back and then drink exclusively water for the rest of the day.
I thought they had black coffee, though. I thought black coffee was one of those.
Black coffee, but, you know, I've actually been getting recommended this product called Mud Water. I don't know if y'all have seen this.
You've talked about it before, I think.
It's just like a bunch of, like, fucking ground-up mushrooms and water and shit with caffeine.
God damn it.
I keep getting ads on Instagram.
That kind of reminds me. That kind of reminds me of like Alex and the protein powder and how horrible it smelled whenever he would make like a shake in college. And have you guys heard this story about the time that Alex and I went to the. Is it GNC or is it GMC?
I think GMC. It's GNC.
GNC. Okay.
I think it's G.
Not GM. GMC is the car.
Yeah, I think GNC is like.
Oh, well, to be fair, he did work at that car place.
He did work at Enterprise
for
a while.
We went to the GNC after like our college classes were over one day, and you know, me and Alex, like, we'll show each other like memes on our phone while we're out in public, and we'll giggle like a couple of little girls. And the guy that was working there, he came up to us, and he's kind of like Mizuki. He was like maybe 5'2" and super jacked, and he came up to us, and he was like, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And we're like, "Oh, we're just picking out products. Sorry if we're like disturbing you or something like that." He's like, No. Like, what did you do before you came here?" We woke up, we went to class, we got in the car, we came here. What are you talking about? And he was like, No, really, you can level with me. Like, I know a couple of stoners when I see them.
God damn.
He's like, I'm gonna be real. I'm high right now.
he was on that steroid high.
We were aggressive. Sorry, dude. Like, we don't know what to tell you. We just act like this in public.
To be fair, Mizuki has always looked like a stoner. And I remember my mom, whenever the boys would be over playing Smash and Mizuki would leave, my mom would be like, was he stoned?
He definitely gives off that impression, because like I remember the first time that my mom met Mizuki, she was helping me like move out on like the last day of freshman year, and I decided to give her like a tour of the campus before we left. And so we were walking back to North Hall up Hillsborough Street, and we saw Mizuki like coming towards us. And you know how like most people, like when like they're coming towards you from like a long distance away, they kind of be like, they'll do like the eyebrow raise, like the head nod or something like that, and then they'll kind of like act casual until they get there. Mizuki is like a dog staring down its prey. Like, he doesn't break eye contact. In fact, he just kind of like, he like smirks a little bit too. Like, he just kind of like, she smiles and he just walks closer towards
you. Don't know what this dude's
like, oh, hey. Yeah, and like he's almost like a robot.
But you know what? Like, while he's doing that, while he's like focused and staring at you and walking towards you, he's like a Skyrim NPC where he's not quite walking like in the straight direction. He's like drifting a little bit to the side because he's not fully focused on walking. He's like,
you're absolutely right. You're
and he bumps into like a curb, and then he recorrects, and then he keeps walking while like not.
Well, he does kind of have that NPC walk to him, because it's like his legs move in like this kind of robotic way, but like the top half of his body is like always super still. Have you noticed that?
And
like he doesn't like sway his arms.
Like a fucking Ed and Eddie character.
And then you hear music when he gets close enough, like an engagement theme. It's like dun, 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 and he's walking towards you.
Yeah, he's like a real life NPC.
He's definitely got that kind of. He's got that, like, strange walk cycle. It's like they didn't animate his walk cycle quite the way that they planned, I feel like.
They were overworking, like, the Japanese animators, and they're like, we gotta go home. We can only do, like, 2.5 steps, and we'll just put it on repeat after that.
But you know what they spent more time on animating his eyebrows than his ears. Because he can, I've seen him absolutely. Move his ears, like, bespoke to each other, or not bespoke to each other, but like he has to move his ears fucking like autonomously, you know.
I feel like just his stare says 1,000 words though. Like, you know exactly which Mizuki you're getting by just the look on his face. And it's like he'll walk into a, you know, the money match face that he makes. Like, he walks into a room and he just kind of like scans the room. He kind of like
he's looking for a bit of
like,
cash.
Who's in the
you can
mood
tell
to give me some
you
money
can tell
today.
That he's like scheming.
Yeah, he did that on the night. Oh, Abby won't want me to tell this story. I hope he doesn't listen to the podcast. He probably does, so let's be real. But it was like the night that he left to go to Boone. We were trying to look for him all day. We were trying to call him, and he was like, I'm on a mission. I can't tell you where I am. And like, we found him. We found him that he, like, I think he and Tavoy were in like a bracket for Ultimate in like an 8-man tournament.
What
in
the
Boone. And he, like, he lost like round one. He drove like 5 hours to like go in two. And so he got back, and we were all gathered at Abby's place down on Centennial, and we opened the door, and Mizuki steps in. And he does that thing where he kind of like surveys the room, and he locks eyes with Abby, and he's like, Abby, it's time for a money match. And I think Abby was like trying to train his Joker or something like that, and he lost like 3-0 to Mizuki's cannon. And then immediately after that, he was like, no, that didn't count. I'm going to switch to Greninja. And, like, this was, like, back when, like, Gamer was, like, loosely legal with, like, those tiny-ass blast zones where you could die at, like, 20 to a Ganon F-Smash. And, of course, that's what ended up happening in Game 5. And Abby ended up having to, like, buy pizza for, like, literally everybody in the room. And Mizuki was a hero that day. Abby hates that story. I'm really glad Mizuki.
I mean, we can add him when we upload the video or the podcast, but.
Oh, please don't.
The thing about Mizuki is that he's always playing at a deficit, so he has less to lose than you do, which gives gives him a power spike.
That's the scary thing about Ganondorf mains in general, is that you know they have like nothing to lose. Like they know they're playing like the shittiest character, and it's like if you win, that's the expected outcome. But if they win, then it's all skill, baby.
the thing is, if they have nothing to lose and everything to gain, you know, when get a victory over you, they'll never live it. You'll never live it down. You know,
there's always that guy, like the low tier hero. You know,
they just want to be a hero.
And that's his whole thing. He just wants his one moment in the spotlight where he beats like 28th on the NCSU PR, you know, where he's like, "Did you see me destroy that Joker main with Ganondorf? That'll never happen again."
So before we get to
that's like in Smash 4, he would go after like strictly Bayonetta players.
Oh yeah, the Bayonetta.
He called it Witch Hunter Ganon or something.
He definitely had that phase on him. And I remember I trained him up. I facilitated.
It was funny.
He had like $100 money match at one point.
It was funny because Kieran is a Bayonetta player. He's a Bayonetta main, and.
Oh, bless
his soul. Like training in the time chamber with Yoshi, Mizuki was like just destroying Kieran, and it was hilarious.
Because I would, here's what I would do. I had literal levels to it where I would play a weak level basically, and get him with some basic Bayo combos, and teach him how to like SDI out of them and stuff. And then I would level up to level 2 where I would actually play neutral with him. And then level 3 was like me actually trying to play. And win against him, and he traversed all those levels.
And this is in Smash 4.
So he was hyper specified to that one matchup, because people were like, "Oh yeah, it's like a 100-0 matchup," and he was like, "No,
yeah."
And he had-
and you know already when he gets that one game, he'll be like, "All right, you ready to go eat?"
Yeah, he's like, "Okay, I'm like, good like, for the night."
There's nothing more after. In fact, I think he literally retired after making the NC State PR finally. Oh, he made like number 15 out of 15. And he was like, "I never have to play this game again."
Now, before we get too far, I wanted to Donvi had a question for you, right? And this is kind of switching gears.
Yeah, it was very cryptic the way you guys ended the last episode. Like, I was just driving down the highway, and I heard, like, "I have a question for you," and I'm like, "Oh,
I have a very simple question."
Okay, hit me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, but I feel like I'm always doing good.
That's the question? I thought it was a different question.
No.
Because some point, you know, we wanted to ask you, your nickname is Rizzo, right?
Yeah.
We wanted to ask you... Right, go ahead, Don.
You're the... I saw people in the boys, the Discord server that you and many other NC State people are in. They were talking about this phenomena called Riz. And I figured, you know, you being Rizzo are the Riz expert.
The progenitor, if you will. Well, I didn't even know this was a term until Mizuki DM'd me out of the blue one day and said, "How do you feel that like kids are like culturally appropriating your last name and using it as like a slang term?" And I had no clue what he was talking about until weeks later when I finally heard someone use the term Riz. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out for myself. What is Riz? I feel like
Me to my point, because you know people were saying that you're the Riz expert, but at the same time you have that O at the end of your name, Rizzo. So I was like,
if anything, I feel like that's zero that's extra Riz power.
Or
that's probably what it is, honestly.
Rizzo. Oh yeah, O as in O, like zero. Rizzo.
Yeah, like 0%.
Hey, would you agree with that, or would you disagree with that, though?
I think I have an well.
And I'll just say, I heard Pawson say this.
Humans.
Don't throw this, people under the bus.
Austin
don't
said this.
Did Austin say I have 0%
Yes, he did.
Oh my god.
Well, here's the thing. Let's put it to the test in a new segment on the show called Riz Me Up. Alright? and we're gonna have So Don B, you're gonna be the coach here.
Okay.
We're gonna have three interactions and we're gonna stop after every interaction and let Rizzo know whether he gave the Riz or whether he needs to work on the Riz in that situation. Okay?
All right, hold up. I need to get on my stilts because I heard that being tall increases your
Riz. Yes, certainly. You can do anything to increase your Riz. And so what you're going to do is you're going to look at me in the webcam. You're going to try to Riz me up. The scenario is we're just walking in the supermarket together. We both reach for the same piece of cheese, let's say.
This is going to be good practice because don't you have a love interest, Rizzo, that you're working on right now?
Yeah, I'd rather not get too far into that.
Let's not get too
far. We'll cut that.
Let's focus on the Riz. Let's focus on that Riz segment. So, you know.
That's like a month off in the future.
Well, this will be good practice, potentially.
Okay, so segment one. Here we go. I'm reaching for the cheese. Oh, hey there. I didn't see you there reaching for that cheese, my boy.
Oh, you didn't see me because I'm short.
Well, I mean, that's not untrue, I suppose.
Well, you're pretty short yourself, Yoshi.
God damn it, right? That's fucking insulting, man. All right, cut. Like, that's the end of the first. That's the end of the first segment. That's the end of the first segment. So, how do you?
All right, let me have a redo. Let me have a redo.
Okay, redo. That was the training arc. That was the training. But from now on, no more redos. All right.
Okay.
I'm reaching for the cheese.
I use my mulligan.
You're just me reaching for the cheese. Oh, damn, I didn't see you reaching for that cheese there, my boy.
I'll cheese you up anytime.
Cheese me up? What the hell are you talking about?
When you say cheese me up, I just imagine you taking a can of Cheese Whiz, just sticking it up his nose.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a realistic outcome in that situation.
Okay, so segment one. How's he doing
on the Riz? I'm gonna
from 0 to 10.
Honestly, at the very least, I'm gonna go with a strong 5 to a light 6.
Strong 5, light, okay. Strong 5, light 6.
That's generous. Not bad. I think I need a better lead-in line.
Okay. Well, the thing is, Yoshi came at you with the unpredictable.
Well, I didn't see you there. I mean, that's a little...
It's a little disrespectful, but you recovered and responded appropriately.
Okay, so Don V, give us a situation then, and then I will say a line to Rizzo to kind of Riz him up.
A situation? What do you mean?
Two. Just any type of situation. Okay. Daily situation imagine, where you would meet someone.
You know, Rizzo is at the coffee shop. You walk in. You see him there with his... black Sigma male coffee, and this is your chance because you both love drinking black Sigma male coffee.
It's okay, your chance. So here's me. I just received my coffee. Oh wow, I see your coffee the same way. I see you like your coffee the same way you like your men there.
Are you?
Yoshi, you're not black.
Who says? Don't try to pigeonhole me, you piece. Are you insulting me?
Why? Whoa.
I'm looking in the webcam right now.
You're not black. At a fucking coffee shop.
Okay. Let's restart because I'm being hostile. I'm setting him up poorly. All right. Okay. Let's refresh.
Yeah, this has to be like somewhat realistic, Yoshi. Let's keep it in the ballpark.
Okay, keep it in the ballpark. Let me think about what I would do. In a realistic situation. I see you like your coffee the same way I like my coffee. And men.
If you add that last point, I'm just gonna be like, that's interesting. I feel like this doesn't work because Yoshi's a guy.
Okay, fine. Let's restart.
Wait, this is unprecedented. Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't this work? Can't you just pretend?
You can Riz up anyone. That's the thing. You can riz up anyone. Okay, let's continue then. Let's continue. Hey, okay. Except I'll give you a softball here. I'll give you a softball. Medium coffee, huh? You got a busy day?
I'm the busiest man I know.
Oh, yeah? Busy little beaver, huh?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I've been known to kind of mess with a couple beavers in my day, if you know what I mean.
You a lumberjack? What the hell's going on here?
In a sense, I'm a lumberjack because I handle a lot of wood, but I don't know. I don't know what are you thinking?
Yeah, I have a lot of wood in these handles.
Okay. Damn, okay, son, how about we go to the back here? All right, end scene.
That might be a little inappropriate for Starbucks, I don't know.
I think, honestly, Rizzo had more Riz than Yoshi in that situation.
And from a scale of 0 to 10, how would you rate it?
I feel like we need to rate this from like negative 10 to 10.
No, 0 to 10.
We're not earning positive.
No, Rizzo had 8 out of 10 Riz. So he's proven Poston wrong already. And Yoshi had, honestly, maybe like 4 Riz.
It's okay. I'm just trying to set him up. I'm just trying to set him up for Riz situations. All right, last scenario. We're meeting in a Zoom class, all right? It's an icebreaker. So what do you like to do for fun?
I upload Pokemon videos to YouTube.
Oh, damn. Okay, that's kind of cringe. Oh, Jonathan, I see your name is Jonathan. Is that true?
No, actually my name is John.
It's just so John? Oh, fuck.
Just man. John, yeah.
John, okay.
Like, not Jonathan Joestar. But I could be the star of your life.
Is that true?
Let's cut this.
Never mind. That went off the rails. Okay. That was horrible. Okay. That was horrible.
Riz stocks are plummeting.
Okay. So what, from 0 to 10, what would you rate that?
That was obviously 0 on both parts. On both parts, 0.
How come I get 0? I'm not doing anything.
I don't know. It's just the way it's just your delivery.
Okay,
I think it's kind of cringe, though, when people just kind of come out the woodwork, and it's like, we don't know each other at all, and you're immediately trying to reason.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
You gotta work.
It does seem a little aggressive, doesn't it?
It is weird.
That's why...
Like, I'll never understand the dudes who can just go up to girls on the street and be like, hey, can I get your number? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, that's weird.
It is strange to me.
There's gotta be a connection there.
But you know what, that's...
It's why the dating apps don't work for me. The dating apps are weird, right? Because it's like, you know, if you do match, it's like, all right, well, you know why I'm here, and I know why you're here, but we're just going to skip, like, all the natural steps to get there, you know? We're just in this situation now, and it's just going to be awkward.
You know, I've been thinking it over, and I think I'm going to start my Tinder back up.
Oh, no. How many people do you get in Morehead?
I get a bunch of, like... swamp creatures.
Do you see the Mothman pop up on Tinder?
No, I mean
Moth Lady.
I mean like
Moth Lady. Yeah, Don V doesn't.
I mean like women with this like, you know, they're not necessarily pretty.
That's fine. I mean, most
same,
people in the world
same
aren't.
Can be said for this region as well.
This region, regional variance. No, I mean, I would say like most people aren't though. Like, let's look at everyone in this call. I mean, you got one good looking guy.
Thank you.
Who? I don't know. one good looking guy in the middle of my screen.
Oh, I have a triangle on my screen, so I literally
I do remember, Rizzo, we had some questions for you from Kieran. He won.
Did we?
Oh, okay. These will actually be good.
Well,
hey, actually be good. Come on now. You didn't like the segment Riz Me Up?
Okay, so.
I think it needed a little work. Just a little.
Okay, well, we're going to have to workshop that segment.
So, I mean, it's not really an interesting question. He's just curious about what you think about Chris Pratt. And honestly, if you've seen the Mario movie, what do you think about that?
I have not, unfortunately. I have not seen the Mario movie yet. But I will say, despite that, because now everyone is like, oh, we have to apologize to Chris Pratt. Like, it wasn't
what
his
happened?
Fault.
Did something happen to the guy? I thought last I saw
like,
he was taming
dinosaurs. Everyone's just kind of been riding like the Chris Pratt hate train for a long time now.
Yeah.
And I think it was just because he went to, like, that church that, like, hated gay people or something.
That's just every church.
And people were like...
Yeah, I thought that was just every Christianity church. Religion.
He's just taking his kids to church, man. Like, I don't know. I feel like Chris Pratt hate is very forced. Like, maybe... Is he overcasted? Sure. But also, he's a good actor. He's a funny dude. So, I don't know. I wouldn't hold it against him if he gets the role as Mario. And it's like, did you think that they were going to have... Charles Martinet going wahoo for 2 hours, like,
yeah, that would have been a bit overbearing, I feel like.
Yeah, like, half the people are like, you have to understand, like, normies are going to go see these movies, like, they don't want to hear random voice actor that's good at their job. They want to hear Jack Black as Bowser. Like, that's half the appeal, is like the celebrities that are in the movie.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, a few. Here's how it starts, I think. You know, you get these people on Twitter who, you know, carry themselves as know-it-alls. And then you get the people that follow them that, you know, they don't want to, like, dissent and, like, have a different opinion from them because they might look stupid or cringe. And then that's just how it starts. And then it's just...
Yeah, that's how the hate train gets rolling, is that it's like, okay, well, the popular opinion right now is to shit on Chris Pratt, so I think that we should all just hop on this train now.
I mean, I don't know anything...
How do you feel about the Twitter changes, by the way? How do you feel about
it? I was what curious happened? About what you think about that. Are you aware of what happened recently? Mm-hmm. With, like, the blue check marks?
The blue check marks are verified people, right?
Yeah, there's no longer any legacy verified accounts. It's all Twitter blue now.
Yeah. Mm. And so,
and like a few deceased people, like Chadwick Boseman still has his check mark.
Yeah, okay. So Elon is actually paying out of pocket for a select few of people. And those people include LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, because LeBron tweeted, he was like, I'm not paying for that shit.
Stephen King, who I think hates Elon Musk, and some other people.
Okay, I have a conspiracy.
Why is he paying for LeBron James?
I think that Elon is trying to save humanity, but not in the way that we expect. And I'm not like an Elon dick rider or anything. Like, I have criticisms of Elon Musk. But I think he's just trying to get people to go out and touch grass again. Like, I think he realized that Twitter was ruining society, and he was like, hey, I got $30 million lying around. What if I just ran this site into the ground? Nobody wants to use it anymore.
I mean, it's possible. I would recommend grass. I think it's a great thing.
That might... People.
Yeah, what if he's like, I want to teach kids how to throw a football again and not tweet with 140 characters or whatever it is.
But then again, I feel like Elon Musk is like the... For me... I don't know if I should say this. For me, he's like the poster child for the dystopian, like, insano capitalist future that we're heading towards. You know? Where people are idolizing, like, billionaires who are, like, we're doing nothing for them, basically. And then they're still in the fucking doldrums, you know? Everyone's suffering, and they're still like, oh yeah, let's look up to these, like, insane old rich people.
I also have a theory about the Twitter stuff. Well, it's not really a theory. It's just a hot take. Or it might be a hot take. I don't know. My Twitter experience has not changed, so I don't give a fuck.
Well, you know who changed my Twitter experience more than anybody, including Elon? It would have to be a beer.
A beer? A beer
was the one who... Yeah, a beer tweet... Like, he pointed out that, like, every third tweet on Twitter is an ad. And I honestly hadn't realized that until he said it. And now I literally can't unsee it. And it's, like, the worst thing that's ever happened. Because, like, I think my mind was just, like, subconsciously, like, filtering out all the ads that I scrolled past. So I would only see the content, but now I can't unsee the ads now that it's been brought to my... It's like when you're aware that, like, your tongue is resting in your mouth, and suddenly it's like, oh no, what do I do with this thing, you know? That's kind of the same feeling I got with the ads on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I When you use Twitter, are you mostly on your phone? Because I usually use it on my web browser where I have ad block. So I don't know if it stops those ads from showing up.
Sometimes like I get tired of looking at Twitter on my desktop, and then I go to my couch and I look at Twitter on my phone. And I'll be like, oh, I wonder what's different over here.
Let's start doom scrolling on the couch.
Yeah.
I'm just,
I want to get better at that, because I hate waking up in the morning and my first instinct is, what happened on Twitter overnight? Like, who we canceling the day, boys?
You know what I started doing? And I don't know if this is applicable to you, but when do you wake up?
So, for work in the morning, I wake up at like 7:30, but on the weekends... Alright, so the weekends are weird, right? I will probably still wake up at like 8, 8:30 or so, but I will literally lie in bed and be on my phone for like 2 hours.
Okay. So I...
Like, I'm not out of bed till like 10 or 11 at the earliest.
I had a minor situation similar to that, where I would scroll for like 10, 15 minutes and then get out of bed. You know what helped me? Is opening my window to where, like, if when the sunlight starts streaming in, it's like very bright. Because I also wake up around 7:30 or 8-ish. And so at 7:30, the sunlight is pretty bright at this time of year, right? And so I wake up and I see that sunlight and I'm like, I see the sunlight. I'm just going to keep looking at the sun or the sunlight until I want to get out of bed. And then.
Yeah, I feel like I might need that, because part of it is that I feel like if I don't look at my phone, then I immediately just want to go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm like, oh, man, my bed feels really good right now. I'm just going to fall back asleep and nobody can stop me, and I don't want to do that because I know that if I oversleep then I'll mess up my entire week after that.
Yeah,
I think that's a good strat, because you don't really want to look at a bright light in the morning, and so you're like, oh, I'd rather fucking get up than look at this bright light. And so that's what I do, but I recognize also that requires, like, you could also just choose to put the covers over your head
it requires leaving like your really comfy bed.
Yeah.
Which I hate that beds always seem to do that, where it's like you're trying to go to sleep at night and it feels like you're like sleeping on a sidewalk, and then you wake up in the morning and it's like, I'm literally sleeping on a cloud now.
It's true.
You ever notice that, how your bed just kind of like morphs overnight and it's like, why is it so much more comfortable?
Yeah,
now?
I don't know why that is.
It kind of sucks you in though, doesn't it? My bed does that. It kind of sucks me.
Yeah, I have like an old bed.
I mean,
you got that.
you can see behind
that
me.
That flesh bed.
I have an old bed. I have like this like 10 or 15 year old bed, and like it has literally developed like a crater in the middle of it.
Oh, dang.
And like everyone says like it's horrible for your back, but like I'm kind of like, I like it. It like hugs me a little bit, you know? I feel secure in the crater bed.
Get that memory for
it. It's like that scene from Land Before Time when Littlefoot's like nestling inside the skin folds of his wrinkly grandmother or something.
Yeah, that scene always kind of struck me the wrong way, you know. And also, is that even historically accurate? Were little feet, or like, what are they called, brontosaurus, were they really that small as babies? I feel like they had to have been bigger.
I mean, they still gotta poop them out.
I mean, yeah, but look at baby giraffes. They come out like fucking insane. Well,
as far as we know, the dinosaurs, unless their eggs were humongous.
Oh, true, because they were shitting out eggs.
Yeah.
I think their eggs were probably huge, though, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, because they're like reptiles. They're not even mammals.
Because think about an ostrich. An ostrich is a huge
egg. Pretty big egg.
It's probably like 1/30
the size. It's crazy to like look at the world and be like, yo, dinosaurs existed here at one point in time. Like, it's so hard to imagine now.
I kind of wish I was born in the Middle Ages so that I could just pretend that they were, like, dragons.
Yeah. Or, like, just magic in general. Like, I almost feel like we know too much about the world now.
Yeah, there's no mystical, like, fantasy.
Yeah, because, like, back, like, imagine, like, 500 or 600 years ago, seeing, like, a tornado come out of the sky. those people probably thought it was like the hand of God reaching down and like striking his wrath upon the land, you know? But nowadays we're just like, oh yeah, it's just a bunch it's of like, winds. Like,
you just look whatever. Over and it's like, damn, that guy got fucked up, dude. He must have did something horrible.
Yeah, like, there's no like mystique to like the world processes anymore. Like, you know, earthquakes or eruptions or anything. Like back then everything was like fantastical. And it was like you're living in a JRPG almost, you know? But nowadays it's like, ah, well, science, we just know all of it.
But there's always an opportunity in life to make that your reality. And before you guys jump on me, I'm not saying go insano and believe in dragons. What I'm saying is, like, you know, you can change up your whole perspective on stuff. And, like, discover that type of stuff about yourself, you know? Because I feel like the things we know the least about is ourself and other people at the end of the day. And so when you apply that mystique to other people, I feel like that can change everything. That can make everyone into a mystic, you know?
I'm a dragon.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how, like, we can go to the moon, but we can't figure out, like, where dreams come from. Or maybe we have, and I just don't know.
Well, that's actually top secret... CIA information.
that's locked up next to like the alien profiles in there.
I don't know. For me, it's like, I don't know, I feel like I'm just learning more about myself every day.
Learn
in the
What's
same.
What's your routine, Yoshi? How do you
way.
Learn about yourself? Like, how do you learn about yourself without staying up until like 3 a.m.?
So,
because like I feel like at 3 a.m. you start like kind of like questioning your own existence and like nothing is real, and that's like where you start learning the most. But I don't want to stay up that late.
So here's one thing. So I injured my medial elbow here doing climbing, right? And so now I have to do these rehab exercises, and I also have to stretch. And one of the stretches is doing this, right? Now, what does this look like?
Oh, yeah, the prayer.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a prayer. And so I started doing this stretch 10 seconds, moving it to this side 10 seconds, this side 10 seconds. And during that, I'm like, oh, I'm basically praying, right? And so when I would do that, I would like, for some reason in my head, I was like, let me give gratitude to everything that I like was thankful for that day. And I started...
I want to thank JPR for being on the podcast.
Yeah, I need to thank JPR. And I was doing that, and I was like, okay, well, this isn't something I thought of myself doing. You know, I ever thought of myself... I see you doing something interesting there, Javi. That's not one of the stretches, right? But that's... Yeah, I was like, I'm not religious. I'm not even spiritual. I find myself doing this, and I'm like, why do I find myself doing this? And so I don't even know why I'm doing this. You know, that's mysterious. It has some mystique to it. And I just go full into it. You know, now I'm doing it for even longer than needed. And after I'm doing it, I'm sitting down and I'm thinking about shit. Normally, I would be playing Risk of Rain 2 or Crab Champions. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this weird shit that I'm suddenly getting into.
You're
know?
A weirdo, bro.
Why.
You're just a weirdo.
But maybe that's the thing. Maybe I'm a weirdo. But, like, you know, I feel like when you go all in on something that you don't fully understand, I feel like that's when you can kind of get into the weird mystique stuff, you know?
Yeah, like pushing yourself into new territories.
Yeah. Yeah. Because now I made my own religion. You know what I'm calling it? Yoshi Crafty and Yoshi Crafty. No, that's the start, man.
Listen, the Donvologists are going to steamroll you in the fucking pits.
But I'm not even hurting them. I'm
we
just being thankful.
We don't give.
I'm just being grateful for this. So you are violent. You're a violent
cult. We are
cult
a violent
that
religion.
Lashes out. That lashes out.
I would like
out.
To hear more about this Donvologist cult.
Donvology is.
We're not a cult.
A sect.
We're not a cult. All of the participants like, are cults? Willing, and they all.
So why is
they
that?
They even
first
want
thing
to. They even pay me.
They pay you. How much do they pay you per
just,
month?
Just $1 a month.
$1
oh, like
a month.
A tithe. They tithe.
Now, how many like months are lower. In the Donvologist calendar? That's my question.
I mean, we've been going for about 3 years now.
Okay, so you've made, what, $36 off each person?
Yeah.
It's enough for a few That's little Caesar's good. Pies.
That's all I ask.
Andrew Tate would be very proud of him right now. He found yeah. a
what
source
kind
of, like,
male
of
shit
are you fucking what are they call it? The, Passive income.
That's what it's about at the end of the day.
God damn it. So you're using your knowledge and your cult. I'm using my charisma.
Influence as the host of the Fox and Calm podcast.
You're using your charisma to exploit people, to take advantage of them, and to be a fucking capitalist parasite.
Capitalist.
Is the Fox and the Clown just like a channel to like a pipeline,
yes,
that leads people into like this Don Vology?
You can choose two routes. You can choose the Yoshi Craftian route, or you can choose the Don Vology route.
It's like that meme of like the two castles, and like one is the happy castle, and the other is like the dark and like stormy one.
Do we want to go? Is now a good time to go through the viewer submissions?
Potentially, yeah, let's do that. That's the last thing we'll do this podcast, and then we'll be done.
Because we don't really have any emails.
No Marquez Bear today?
No Marquez Bear, unfortunately. That bitch is on the run. We know who he is. Any day now, he's going to be responding back to us, hopefully, so that we can confront him.
I don't like this person, man. He or she makes me very nervous.
So
I find myself looking over my shoulder in day-to-day life.
So Tavoy wants to know how to get into grad school.
Oh, how to get into grad school? Well, it depends on which field you're in. Can be quite challenging for some. It's challenging for all, but more challenging for some than others, I would say. You gotta have some type of, for me it was research experience, but maybe just academic experience in general, academic acumen, one might say. And they gotta want to know that you want it. You gotta want it, man. And you gotta let them know that you want it. And that's something you can do in a variety of ways. You have to swallow your pride and maybe even something else in order to get what you want in everyday life.
If you're like me, then you can do what I did to get into NC State in the first place, and that's look up least competitive majors at your college, and then just choose one of those. And
what was your major?
So, communication media.
Okay,
but here's the thing:
Chapel Hill is known for that.
But you say that it's the easiest major, yet I feel like you're one of the few people in that major where it actually kind of directly applied to your life, you know? Like making YouTube videos, it's a form of communication to the masses.
Yeah, I suppose so. You know, I really can't tell you a single thing that I learned from taking those comm classes.
Wait, for 4 years?
Except for it was the last day of like interpersonal comm, and the professor walked in and she said, like, you know, there's a stat that says like 80% of the knowledge that you learn from every college class is lost within a year. So if I want you to remember one thing from this class, it's that at cookout, you can get a corn dog with a side of corn dog. And the entire auditorium was popping off. And I guarantee that they all remember that as much as I do. Because that's the only thing I took away from
that. They just heard cookout and then their minds got wiped.
Yeah, that was it's true. In less than a year, in one second, you can wipe 80% of knowledge away. I mean,
it wiped 99%, if I'm being honest. I don't remember a single thing.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Like, if you asked me how to perform, like, the thermodynamics of a supersonic jet, I wouldn't be able to tell you even in the slightest.
Now, I can tell you the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. I still remember that one.
I mean, yeah, there's snippets.
It's got a nice jingle to it. The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah, why do people always
spend
shit?
Like 6 years drilling it into your mind so you can't forget?
And why do people always shit on that too? They're like, "Oh, in high school, I didn't learn anything useful, like how to do my taxes. I just learned that the mitochondria was the powerhouse of the cell." Motherfucker, that's important knowledge. You need to know that shit. You know?
I'm gonna push back on this. You don't need to know.
In a sense, you do need to know, because if you're giving thanks to your body, you need to know where to direct that thanks.
You know, I'm going down. You can't fucking. I'm going down the
manifest your conscience I'm going down into the yourself.
Yoshi-craftian.
You can, dude. Have you even seen Hunter x Hunter, bro? Your cells can have little fucking Nen receptacles that can be powered up by giving thanks to them. Probably.
I think I'm going down like the Yoshi-craftian pipeline right here because I
you're
feel
grooming
like,
Grizzo.
I feel like everything that you learn in school is useless. Like, I guess I'm sort of agreeing with Don V here. I think everything that you learn in school is completely useless and you'll never use any of it. But at the same time, like, it kind of leads into that Yoshi-craftian ideal of, like, you learn by putting yourself in unfamiliar situations.
Here's the thing.
So that's why school doesn't work.
Here's the thing. Walking down the street, like, or let's say you hire an electrician to fix your lights, right? Do you want a guy who doesn't know what the fuck a mitochondria is, or do you want a guy who does know?
What? I want a guy who doesn't know.
I want a guy who can do the job.
But what if they both can do the job?
I want a guy who has more shit going on that he's forgotten that.
Okay, let's say they both can do the job just as equally good. One guy knows what a mitochondria is, one guy doesn't.
Well, then I still want the guy who doesn't know, because then I can maybe finesse him and get a cheaper deal.
No, they're both set. You got to pay $50 for this repair. No.
Yeah, but you could haggle them a little bit. You could be like, "Oh, you're charging me $50 for this when I have a mitochondria generating all this power for me back here."
Well, let's see. Like, I'm trying to think what other form of not like. What about civics and economics? Do you want a guy who knows what the Bill of Rights is?
Well, that's actually important.
Yeah, that is pretty important.
Yeah, that's important. All right, civics and economics, one of the more useful classes. You should take away some stuff. They should still teach you kind of how to do taxes in civics and economics instead of, like, save money, which is, like, everyone knows
how
fucking
fucked up taxes are, like, in general.
Yeah, they're difficult.
Because it's like the government is like, they know how much you make. Like, they just know. And they know how much you owe. But you have to figure it out. You have to figure it out.
Why are we
anyway.
Playing this weird guessing game, Barack Obama?
And then it's like, oh, how much do you think you owe? I don't know, 800. And they're like, sorry, gotta go to jail.
And my thing is, like, you get the tax return, right? Everyone loves the tax return. It's like, why am I getting the tax return in the first place? Why not just give me that money? Like, while the company's already taking the money, why not just give me that money?
They're overcomplicating the process. They should just send everyone a bill out in the mail and be like, this is what.
This is just evidence of a successful Russian fucking, like, fucking us over. Some Russian, like, don't... the Russian propaganda has worked. They've somehow convinced our own government to make us do the taxes.
But yeah, it's like, why is this the thing? Like, just take the money or don't take the money from me from the jump, you know? Like, don't make me run through the loop of having to do a 1040 or whatever it is, and then fucking like a W-2, I get the W-2 and I have to send it in and all this shit. And it's like, what the hell is going on here? You know,
this is all Woodrow Wilson's fault. That might be, like, objectively, like, the worst president of all time.
And the you know what the crazy thing is, too, about this fucker? I'm just going along with you. I don't know that he was actually good or bad, but maybe
he was, like, the guy who made income tax, and he was racist. So, like, that's another point against him.
It's like,
wow.
You know, you have this system, everyday people who have to pay taxes and would get a return don't know shit about taxes. They probably don't get the full return that they want. And then super wealthy people do the taxes. They know exactly how to do the taxes and they don't pay as much as they should. And you have just this crazy, like, knowledge imbalance, you know? It's like, what the hell, man? Just take the fucking work out.
Don't you think it's crazy that we went to war with Britain over, like, 6% tax on RT? But it's like, oh, 30% to our government, sure, why not?
Yeah, we went to war with them about fucking
well, to be honest, their fucking
tariffs.
Their dental hygiene was just so offensive, it just kind of pushed us over the edge.
Yeah, you're right.
True, but look at the irony in that. Now we live in the most capitalistic country in the world.
Mm.
Britain's sucking cocks as well, I guess, by themselves. They seceded out of the European Union, so I guess who's laughing now? You're just like an island, bro. You're just an island boy.
Britain has like they've taken like a series of L's over like the last 250 years. Like have they copped a single W since America was founded?
Bro,
let me think.
Britain,
let me think, because they've got the shittiest food. They got like beans on bread.
Fuck those assholes who like praise like the fucking beanie and weenies breakfast from Britain. Fuck them. That's the worst breakfast ever.
It's not a good breakfast. It's not a, like, compare the breakfast in the U.S.
Yeah, I feel like when we were growing up, like, America was kind of like the laughing stock of the world, and maybe we still are, and I'm just coping, but it seems like in the last 10 years or so, there's been, like, a paradigm shift, and now the world has, like, universally agreed that, like, it's okay to be mean to British people.
Because, look, first of all, they have an outdated monarchy that, like, what is the purpose of this royal family other than to be celebrities?
Like, the coronation is coming up, like, the first one in, like, 70 years, and it's like, who cares?
It's like,
this person doesn't even do anything.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? You got the royal family, and then, second of all, you've got, like, this... What happened again? It was like the head of the parliament or something. Like someone stepped down, like Boris Johnson. Maybe not Boris Johnson. Someone stepped down, and they've just had replacement after replacement after replacement of incompetent people who can't like lead a country. Which I mean, it's hard to lead a country. Don't get me
wrong. I do feel bad. I do think it's kind of disrespectful to shit on the Queen's death. I don't care about the Queen, but
hot take, but maybe we shouldn't make fun of dead people.
Yeah, I feel like that's a common take. We should not be
like the Lincoln assassination just became fun.
We
gotta give it some time.
I'm not even British, and I just like the idea of like a queen from a far off land. I don't know.
Yeah, you like it until you live in that country and, like, they live in a fucking palace and they're, like, rich as fuck for doing nothing, you know?
Well, this reminds me of, like, a year ago when the Nintendo Direct came out that was going to reveal, like, the title of the new Zelda game. And they were like, out of respect for the Queen's passing,
we're not streaming this
in the UK.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Because it was called Tears of the Kingdom. And I think Hard Drive, which is like the gamer equivalent of The Onion, tweeted out like, Nintendo of Ireland has vowed to stream this twice out of disrespect for the Queen.
Damn, dude.
Why do the Irish hate the British?
Because there's been a long conflict of land in that region.
Yeah, not in modern times.
Yes, in modern times.
Really?
Man. Definitely in modern times.
I don't
times,
hear about
yeah.
any, like, you know, scuffles or wars being waged.
Did Brexit affect them? Is Ireland like a part of the UK and not Europe?
No, I think they're different. I think they're different.
So wait, only Britain is the UK.
Let me look up. No. There's other parts. Like there's I think Wales and other shit. But let me see.
But Ireland's still part of Europe.
Is Ireland part of the UK? Autocompletes. Is Ireland part of the UK or not? The United Kingdom is made up of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. So they have part of Ireland. They don't have all of Ireland.
They've got like a civil war going on over there.
It's for real. It's Captain America's Civil War, except the captain is the queen.
They're going to have Confederate Ireland crazy. Before long. It's just going to be a bunch of people that hate the Brits.
Oh, yeah, but there's definitely some contention there, man. There's definitely some contention over there.
Well, that's about it. I do have something.
I feel like we should have been discussing these important topics rather than like the shitty ass early topics.
What do you mean? That was good content.
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like these topics are more meaty, more Meatington's McGee.
I do have one last topic. If you want something extra to talk about,
sure, hit me.
Give me one second.
Here we go again. He's gonna pull up some alt-right shit. Whenever the podcast goes over an hour, he's always pulling up some like alt-right insano.
See, this is the beauty, like the dichotomy of the fox and the clown. You kind of have like the more liberal, reserved Yoshi and like the alt-right Don V, and the two sides clashing is what kind of creates this.
Now you're just a confirmed alt-right.
The two sides clashing kind of creates this mystique of the fox and the clown.
I mean, certainly possible. Certainly possible. You know, one thing that while Dombey's looking this up, One
I
thing.
Think his webcam froze too. I think he's literally like, did he drop?
No, it? That's just how he gets sometimes. He just kind of freezes up sometimes. I feel like that's just what happens. But yeah, one thing while Don V's looking, I think he. Oh no, no,
he definitely did drop.
Okay,
Discord was just not
like frozen in a stance.
Was my camera still on?
Yes, yes. It was frozen on one frame. I thought you were just...
Yeah, you were like staring out into space.
I thought you were just looking for something very intense.
Discord was like not responding, so I just had to leave the call.
It didn't even show that you left either. It just, you just seamlessly came back in.
So I do have this thing in viewer submissions, Yoshi, if you want to take a look.
Here we go again.
YouTube video called Psychedelic Aliens Contacted David Cho. And in this video, he goes on talking to Joe Rogan about this experience he had on DMT, where he was like talking to aliens, and the aliens were saying like, dude, like you're just like one of us, but you're like also part monkey or a human or whatever. And he specifically, in this video, he's specifically talking about Asians, because apparently there's this thing with Asians where they, when they're born, sometimes they have blue asses.
So, and what are you asking me to do right now?
I think you know. I think you know.
What are you? What are you thinking?
He wants you to confirm. JPR,
what
you were born?
I mean, you heard the story of how me and JPR met. What do you say, JPR?
Well, obviously you weren't a baby, so I can't confirm if you're
a child at heart. Certainly, though, I wouldn't deny that. Boss,
like,
baby?
I don't know when this.
You ever seen Boss Baby?
Off. You know, Tobey Maguire's the Boss Baby. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. What's insane technology?
Like when the only thing I know about that movie is that at the very end, when he's like a grown up and he's giving like the ending narration, it's Tobey Maguire.
Damn, that's inspiring.
It's like the only thing that he did between like Spider-Man 3 and like the newest Spider-Man film. It's like one of the only things he's done.
Didn't he do The Great Gatsby?
He did a few other things.
Yeah, but honestly, those get eclipsed by Boss Baby.
Yeah, like his like 2 minute cameo in The Boss Baby, like it steals.
Wait! I thought he was the voice thing actor about before the Boss Baby. He shows up in the Boss Baby.
He just gives like a narration at the end. Like when the Boss Baby is like a... I might be thinking of something entirely different.
Here's the thing about the Boss Baby. Everyone says they hate child labor, and then they love the fucking Boss Baby. And it's like, where do you actually sit on the spectrum?
Is that an Illumination film?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. It gives that vibe off.
I do have I do actually have a question for Rizzo, because me, Mizuki, Yoshi, Tavoy, and Daniel were all waging war against Mizuki the other night.
Were we?
Yes.
As you do.
I don't think we were. I don't remember waging any wars, battles.
Mizuki was... He was really waging war against us because we were not giving in to his own reality of him being surprised that the Mario movie opened on opening night, made 150 million. Now, would you say that you're surprised at that, Rizzo?
No, I wouldn't say I'm surprised. Okay. I mean, we're talking about like one of the biggest IPs in the world here.
He was claiming that it was the marketing team. But the thing is, the Mario has been marketed for generations already.
377 million after Easter weekend, the first weekend it was
released. I don't even think they needed to promote that movie. They could have just said like years ago, like, hey, we're making a Mario movie, and they would have done all the heavy lifting by itself.
All the Mario movie had to do was like look good. It just had to look good. And that's
like it just had to pump out a couple of trailers that didn't look super cringe, and that's what it did. So yeah.
And like Mario, now let's do this. Like Sonic movie, Sonic the Hedgehog, was a success, right? People loved the Sonic movie.
Well, they actually hated it at first, from the trailer with Ugly Sonic. So like,
I'm a little afraid to see the Mario movie because I saw Sonic 2. I didn't even see Sonic 1. I didn't really want to see Sonic 2. Just my friends dragged me to go see it. And it was the most Gen Z-er movie I have ever seen in my entire life.
I thought that was the better movie of the Sonic movies.
I mean, I don't know the first one, so. But I was still like, this movie was specifically made for, like, young Gen Z-ers. It felt like. You got Sonic flossing. You got that whole, like, God, side quest that has nothing to do with the movie.
Flossing is, like, 5 years old.
I just got pain. I just got a cramp. I just get cramp in my side.
You better start fucking praying. Goddamn Yoshi Crafty and Buddhist.
Okay, I need to pray. But you know what? Like,
So the Mario movie, it's not Zoomer, though. It's not Zoomer.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it either? Don V isn't Zoomer.
I've not seen it. I want to go see it.
Are we all alone?
We're talking about the fucking Mario movie we haven't even seen. I've seen the original movie. I've seen the original.
That's the problem with society. Motherfuckers like us who are talking about shit they haven't even seen.
The only three Gen Zers who have not gone to see the Mario movie.
I wanted to see it.
For one podcast.
I wanted to see it, but I didn't see it. You know why? Because I'm a 25-year-old guy. Like,
okay, Mr. fucking Boomer.
Yeah, I feel like self-conscious, like, going to the movies, like,
myself. I can't go by myself. I went to see Black Panther by myself, and that did not go well.
You know what? I say that I'm a 25-year-old guy, but now that I think about it, that's actually the primary demographic for the Mario movie. It's like people like us who grew up with Mario games and older than us, like, who grew up with Mario games and just are like, oh yeah, let's see the Mario movie.
Well, that's all I really have. That's all we really have for you, Rizzo. Do you have any videos that you're in the process of making that you want to promote? I saw your recent video, the mythical one.
Yeah. Came out with another one today on the Pokemon villains, and that's doing really good, which I'm happy about.
Oh yeah, you put that out today.
Yeah, I'm always on the brink of, like, running out of ideas. People think I have, like, this grand master scheme where, like, I have, like, all of my videos blocked out, like, a year in advance. And I'm like, no, honestly, like, as of this current moment, I have no clue what my next video is going to be. I'm going to script it in the course of 2 hours, and that'll
be the
it.
Perfect
that'll
be topic.
All the thought I put into it.
The topic should be, you know, I've been thinking about this for, like, a week now. Pokemon has lost its riz.
I can tell you that it hasn't. And you know why?
No, bro. I just got done listening to the To Be a Master album. And
oh, you're right. You're so right, actually.
But you know what?
That was maybe the best example you could have possibly pulled up.
Here's the thing. My boss's kids. My boss's kids who are like 10 years old and 8 years old love Pokemon. And when they talk about Pokemon,
they might love it, but does it have, you know, riz?
Yeah, I think for the
young generation, it has to have the same riz because they talk about it with the same, like, ferocity and passion that we talked about it back in the day when we were that same age.
Maybe.
Nearly 20 years ago.
Think about the stuff that they used to do with Pokemon back in the day. Like Don V mentioned, the To Be a Master album. With like 20 original songs made by like all the voice actors from the anime and stuff.
Okay.
That's riz right there. That's true. That's how you market your product.
Well, here's a counterexample that might not be as strong, but I'll give you a counterexample just to play devil's advocate. The official Pokemon YouTube channel puts out like animated shorts of beloved Pokemon like Lechonk and random fuckers, you know?
Anti-Riz, bro. It's
I feel like that's
Zier.
Riz.
I think the most Riz-full thing that they've done that I've enjoyed is the, what was it, Origins with Red, and he gets to Mega Evolve his Charizard.
Oh, that was dope. Actually, that was how they revealed Mega Charizard.
Yeah. That was awesome. And that's the last thing that I pogged about.
Let me look at the official
Pokemon
YouTube channel.
Now they got Ed Sheeran writing the music.
Yeah, they do have kind of celebrities. Whenever celebrities are involved, it's always a bit cringe. Official.
Oh, okay. That Post Malone like digital concert was like, that's a little bit of
rinse. I didn't see that.
Like when it, especially since like a lot of his music has like allusions to like sex and like curse words and stuff. And it was like, because like he was singing, it was something like horribly inappropriate.
Yeah, I think he started rapping about Vaporeon, right?
Yeah, and then there are millions of people watching this live stream of Post Malone rapping with like 3D renders of Pokemon in the background. Oh, and it was like, oh my god.
Is this on YouTube?
That's like a fever dream. It probably is. Look up like Post Malone like digital Pokemon concert or something like that. And they even had like an anime like 3D render of Post Malone and all of his like tattoos and everything. Yeah, it's literally like a fever dream. It's one of those things I look back on and I'm like, I can't believe that actually happened.
Well,
yeah, interesting.
Would you like to sign us out, Yoshi?
Yeah. Thank you, JPR, for coming onto the podcast. It was one of if not the podcast of all time.
It was one of the podcasts of all time, for sure.
One of, if not the podcast of all time. And what I'll say is this, if you guys haven't checked out the JPR YouTube channel, I mean, the last YouTube video I watched from JPR was, let's see.
It was, finally comes to light.
2 months ago, Best and Worst Shiny Pokemon.
Well, that's not a bad one to watch right there.
Actually, for a while,
I was almost at 200k. Every sub's going to count here, so
oh, yeah. I
appreciate the shout-out.
Yes, but if you haven't checked out JPR, I mean, everyone who's listening to the podcast likely has. I mean, he needs no introduction. I know we introduced him on this episode as kind of an ass-eating like, legend status, but that's like, you know... Other than that,
see that's what the Yoshi Craftian religion gives you, bro.
There's nothing wrong with
it. It's kind of like the American political pendulum. You know how it swings back and forth. You know, like sometimes the Yoshi Craft ideals are in, and sometimes the Donvology is in.
But what's so wrong with that, though? What's wrong with two men eating each other's assholes?
Let's end it there.
Yeah, let's cut it there. Okay, let me stop my recording.